please this morning again to Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15. We began preaching out of this passage of Scripture last Lord's Day, and we just can't seem to get that off of our heart, and it won't turn me loose, so I can't turn it loose, amen, until God's done with it. But we're going to be preaching out of Luke chapter number 15. As we begin our reading in verse number 11, very familiar passage of Scripture. Don't let the familiarity of the Scripture rob you of your attention to it, because don't forget, this is the Word of God. This is not a catalog. It's not a man-written storybook. This is the Word of God, and if we've never exhausted it, we'll never find its depths. We'll never soar to its heights. Amen. It is alive. It's food for the soul. Verse number 11, the Bible says, "And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him," Brother James, we got a little ring up here, brother. "And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? And I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.'"
Yes!
Woo! "And he arose and came to his father."
Yes, he did.
Glory! Hallelujah! Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! Testify, Brother Tom. Amen. Amen. Yes. 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 Yes.
And then behold, what better of love?
Yes.
The Father has bestowed upon us. Yes. You can't describe it. You can't get it.
That's right.
It.
Yes.
And then I'm glad that you can't go no further than what he
mentioned. Yes.
I'm looking for limitation of what you can do if you belong to him.
Amen.
Think about this. Yeah. Think about this just for a minute. There's a limitation on a backslider.
Yeah.
God give this to another morning. But I've got up after getting right. And but I'm glad you can't go no further than what God let you.
Yeah.
Amen. David couldn't go no further than God let him. And so he turned him around. And then this man, he didn't go no further than the place of the pen. Thank God. There's a place. There's a place. I give Jesus to God.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Hallelujah.
I used to say all the time, you got to bring forth fruit worthy of repentance.
Hey.
Amen. I'm glad.
Amen.
Not a long time ago. Thank God, power. Thank God. Thank God. Thank
hallelujah. God. Amen.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
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 Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
That ought to encourage you. That ought to stir hope in you. Some of you have been on the brink of giving up on something, someone, something or someone you've been praying for, praying about. And the more you pray, it seems like the further they go and the deeper they go and the more uninterested they go and the more determined they go. But, oh, this ought to stir hope in you. Pray on. Pray on. Pray on, child of God. Pray on. Amen. The worst thing you can do is quit believing and quit praying. Amen. Pray on. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo! Glory. Long awaited. Well, I feel like running. I am running on the inside. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. Woo! Glory to God for the Word of God. Yeah. We wouldn't know if there'd be any hope if it wasn't recorded. Thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, where were we? Amen. Woo, it'd be a good day for somebody to get in. Be a good day for somebody to get right. Be a good day for somebody to get saved. Amen. Be a good day. Hallelujah. Mm. Well, let's try that again. Yeah, go ahead. Amen. Yeah. These altars are open if you need them. Man, be a good time to get in. Yeah, yeah.
No, you. I tell you, I thank God. You know, I was thinking, you know, as when you preached last Wednesday on the prodigal son, I was wondering. I said, well, I wonder who in the world that bird in there. I think everybody's right in there.
No, ain't everybody. Right. Amen. Amen. Yeah, he's good. Yeah.
I tell you, I thank God that I'm
here
this morning.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody hit Brother Billy on that second verse. He needs to sing it. Have you got it back? Ruler or king, this whole world had to know who I am. Jesus walks right beside me, and my battles he guides me. Yes, he loves me as small as I am. Amen, Jesus. Have your way, Lord. Several folk here this morning. We'll read in a minute. There's several. And I say several because that's what I mean. There's several here this morning. And I prayed for you this morning and you're here. God is wanting you to do business with Him today. No doubt about it. God has prepared the atmosphere, the service, for you to get in today. Amen. Amen. You can get right today. You can. You can get right today. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Amen. Let's jump back in verse 17 because this is when it all started turning around. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you so much for your presence today. Thank you for answering prayer. Thank you, Lord, for encouraging our faith. Thank you, Lord, for just walking among us here today. We are not deserving of it. We've done nothing to attract you today. But the fact is, we that are saved are in your family, and you are our Father, and you love us with an unending, unconditional love. And I thank you for that. Lord, I pray for those here today, Lord, that are looking at a bleak circumstance. Lord, they're looking at a situation that looks hopeless and looks like there's no need to pray. But I pray, dear Lord, that what we have witnessed even here today, Lord, would be an encouragement to all of our faith to keep praying and keep believing and keep pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Do, Lord, the impossible. Lord, do the unbelievable. Lord, do that today, dear God, which man cannot do. I pray that you'll go, Lord, beyond us today, our Father, and do that will bring ultimate glory to yourself, Lord. And we'll be careful to praise you. Lord, we'll be quick to get out of the way. Lord, if you want to break in on us, God, in a much greater way. Lord, there's some folk here today. There's some young people here today that I've prayed for. I've been in the throne room this morning in their behalf. And dear God, hallelujah, they're here today. And Father, there's no question in my heart. You're dealing with them. You're speaking to them. Lord, I don't see how you could not be dealing with them here today. I pray that, God, they'll make a move even now. It won't interrupt nothing. Lord, it won't disrupt anything. I pray they'll make a move even now. Lord, blind Bartimaeus, Lord, got you when you passed by. Lord, took advantage of you, called out to you when you were passing by. And Lord, it's evident you're passing through. Lord, you're passing by. Please, Lord, please knock on their heart's door. Please woo them. Please speak to them and draw them, Lord. They came miserable this morning. They came with their spiritual life a wreck. They came this morning with their spiritual life in the ditch. I pray, dear God, you'll get in the ditch with them, with your Holy Spirit and power and the Word of God. I pray this morning, Lord, there'll be some parents, Lord, not to give up on their children, Lord, but to be committed today. Lord, they're going to pray on. Lord, there's some mates here today, Lord, who's, Lord, their companion, Lord, are going away from you. I pray you'll stir their faith. Lord, stir their heart. Stir their belief, dear God, to keep on praying, to keep on believing, staying true of themselves, our God, to thee. Have your way, Lord. We'll give you praise and glory. Help me to have discernment. Help me to have the utterance of the Spirit. Help me today, Lord, to know your voice. Our God, I don't want to do anything in the flesh. Lord, I don't want to be no fair show of the flesh. None today. Lord, the flesh profiteth nothing. Lord, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Lord, we're wanting the Spirit of God absolutely permeate this place. Take over. Get big in our midst, dear Lord. We'll point you out. We'll be careful to point you out. There you are. There you're working, and we'll point you out. and give you glory. Have your way, Lord. I believe somebody's got a key, dear God, to this service, and it's in their hand right now. And Lord, what they do, Lord, in the next 2 to 3 to 5 minutes, dear God, is going to probably determine the outcome of this service today. I pray you'll help them to be sensitive and selfless, dear God, to mind you. Lord, it's not about us. Lord, it's not what people will think about me. But dear God, it's the fact of obeying you will release you to do greater things and bigger things and more powerful things. Lord, there's some folk here today that outwardly, as far as I know, may be right. But Lord, inwardly, they may have let their spiritual life, Lord, get slack. Lord, they may have let their spiritual life, Lord, just get, Lord, loose in their life. And Lord, maybe their prayer life and the word, their relationship, the Word of God, Lord, maybe just nowhere close to being what it needs to be. Lord, I pray you'll show them, God, that, Lord, you're calling them. You've found them out. Lord, you're speaking to them, our Father, even now. Lord, help us today. Thank you for what you're going to do and what you have done. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord, for dealing with Tom. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to him. Lord, I don't know when he got right, but thank you, Lord, that he got right. Thank you, Lord, he's not in the hog pen no more. Thank you, Lord, for that. I pray, dear God, you'd use him mightily. Dear God, as a testimony to young people, dear Lord, not to go there, not to do that. Lord, I pray, and we've all done that. We've all testified to that same truth. Not do as we've done, but to go with God, give God their youth, and serve God. Help me, I pray. Lord, please, please, Lord, intensify the conviction. Lord, turn the heat up. Turn the heat up, Lord. Oh, God, turn the heat up on those that need to get right. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Hallelujah. I don't normally do this, but I am going to right now. Has everybody minded God? I know the answer to that, but I'm giving you an opportunity. Everybody minded God? I tell you what, Brother Darrell, if it was me, if I was not where I need to be, if I was, you know, with the way the services went so far, I would be running to the altar. I'd be running to the altar. Getting right with God, Brother Jackie. I'd be claiming God's promises. That's exactly what I'd be doing. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Amen. We've been preaching, started last week, we preaching on the prodigal son. Story every one of us are familiar with. And it can be applied one or two different ways. You can apply this prodigal as to a lost person, as the context reveals him to be, as this chapter 15 is a tripart parable. A parable, three parts. There is the lost sheep, the lost silver, and the lost son. The lost sheep was out of the fold, the lost silver was out of the funds, and the lost son was not in the family. But then you can apply this as to a person that is saved and gets out of the will of God, that goes to a far country, living a selfless, a selfish life, a self-pleasing life, living a life that gratifies the appetites of the flesh, and goes so far, as we've heard testify this morning, and comes to the place to where that the whole story turns around and really turns out to be a blessing. And so we praise God for that. Just a word of reminder of last week. We talked about how that the far country is a potential. Don't ever underestimate it. It's just on the other side of one of your choices. It's just, listen, you can be in a far country in 5 minutes. It's not something, though it's called a far country. It's not something that you have to get on a plane to go to. It's not something you have to get on a train to go to, or get in a car, or walk for hours, or spend days trying to get there. No, a child of God can be in a far country in one choice. A child of God can be in a far country away from the Father, out of the Father's house, in just a matter of moments. Amen. And we've all here today that are saved can testify to the fact of, in our Christian life, there have been times that we were amazed how quickly we got out of fellowship with God. Say amen right there. There's times we've left church on Sunday night, I mean on cloud 10, and then Monday we was dragging our tracks out. Amen. Low and far and distant and out of fellowship with the Lord. I'm telling you, this prodigal son story shows us how that God can turn fun into a famine. How that God can take pleasures and turn it into a pig pen. How that God can take what you think is going to be a dream life, a dream of pleasure, and turn it into a nightmare of experience. And so we find this story. Thank God it's recorded in the Bible. Why? Because we all have the potential of going there and it being recorded about us and being stated about us. Every young person in here, if you listen to the world, if you listen to the world's music, if you listen to the world's popular people, you will wind up in a far country because that's where they are. And their music is geared to pull you there. Their movies is geared to pull you there. Amen. That's right. Their mentorship, that is their influence in your life, is geared to pull you away from God into a far country. And the worst thing you can do is stiffen your neck and say, "Not me, preacher. Not me." The Bible said to him that thinketh he standeth, "Take heed lest he fall." I believe that, listen, the question was asked in the Old Testament, how are the mighty fallen? How are the mighty fallen? And I want to tell you, friend, we all know of people that once set where we're sitting, my friend, that are not in the things of God, the house of God today. So it is a potential. And then the far country is personal. We talked about that last week. It's a far country is not where we go. The far country is where I go. And by the way, let me just say this. It is so personal that if you've got a friend, whether it be a boyfriend or a girlfriend or whatever, and they're going to the far country, you do yourself a great service to sever your friendship and to tell them, "You're going where I can't go. You're going where I don't want to go. You're going where I will not go. By the grace of God, I'm going to stay at the Father's house. By the grace of God, I'm going to stay true to the Father. I'm going to serve the Father. I'm going to honor the Father by the grace of God." Amen. Amen. You listen, you are purchasing your own ticket for the far country to run with people that are in the far country. Amen. Now, I told you last week, I'm hoping I'm not gonna spend all the time reminding ourselves, but it's feeling pretty good. Amen. This man right here that's in our story, when he was born physically, had no knowledge, Brother Tom, of the far country. He didn't know their far country existed. In fact, for years, all he knew was the Father's house and the things of the Father and serving the Father and working for the Father and eating with the Father and fellowshipping with the Father. That's all he knew. But there come a point, I don't know where it was, there come a point in his life where he was made aware of the far country. There was somehow he got exposed to that. And it wasn't because he had been there before. But no doubt he had been around somebody that had. Probably a friend down the road. Amen. Probably something of that nature. Probably started slipping around behind daddy and mom's back and listening to some of that far country music. You know, daddy didn't know nothing about it. And I tell you, kids are very clever, very, very sneaky. Come on now. Amen. And one preacher had his daughter and thought that she was listening to the gospel music back in the cassette tape day. You know, we've done about out of that now. We're into the CDs and all that now. But then she had a Christian cassette, several of them. Look at it. Just pull it up and look at it. Was a Christian cassette, but she had erased it and recorded a bunch of garbage music on it. So when the dad come in and see it, he'd think, "Well, she's listening to Christian music, but she was listening to that far country junk." Amen. That's right. Some of you need to get right about that. That's right. You wonder why your spiritual life, look up here. You know why your spiritual life is like this right here? Well, no, I did that wrong. I was going about as up as a far down. No, here's your spiritual life. It's up and down, but mostly down. And you wonder why? Because you've ignored the preacher when he preaches on things that he knows for a fact in the Bible and from experience that will deplete you of power, will deplete you and break your fellowship with God. Amen. But it's personal. If you're not right this morning, it's your fault. Amen. I don't make a choice for you to go to the far country. You don't make a choice that I go to a far country. It's personal this morning. Amen. Amen. That's right. That's exactly right. And then it's patterning. That is, you can look at this young man and see the steps in his life that he took to get there. And if you follow those steps, if I follow those steps, yeah, I'm talking about Preacher Reckland, been preaching 31 and a half years. If I follow those same steps, I'll wind up in the same place. Amen. That's right. You can go north on 11W from now till you die of old age, and it will always take you to Kingsport. It will today, it will tomorrow, it will next year, it will in 10 years. Get on that road and go in that direction and you'll wind up in Kingsport. That's exactly right. The path of sin is easily traceable. You can see it. Amen. Why? Because most people have been on it. And we can testify, don't go there, don't do that. So anyway, it's patterning. You can look at the patterns throughout the Word of God. We're not ignorant of His devices, the Bible says. We know what the enemy's up to. We know how he operates. You can go back in Genesis chapter 2 and 3 and look at how the devil, chapter 3, dealt with Eve and dealt with Adam. And you can look at that same pattern and it'll be true in your life and mine. Amen? But then we noticed also that the far country is painful. Amen. I made this statement last week, and I hope you'll get it. If you weren't here, I hope you'll get it. There has never yet been a good testimony come out of the far country. Nobody has ever come from the far country and said it was good to me. No. The way of a transgressor is hard. Sin will wear you out. The far country, as illustrated here, will wear you out. Oh yes, you think it's going to be a blast, but you'll find out it's the bottom. Amen? You'll think it's the key to joy, but you'll find out that it's not. It's not ever as it seems. And listen, preachers can preach their heart out. But unless we have, listen, I've said it many times here in this church, unless I, as pastor here, unless I have the partnership of parents, there's no way that I can reach your children. When I preach to them and they hear it from me and hopefully they see it as well in me, and then they go home and you purchase for them, buy for them, allow them to do contrary to what I preach, or yet you yourself as a parent will go contrary to what I preach, then you're cutting my legs out from in under me of effectiveness, being able to influence the children. Amen. That's exactly right. God help us. Let me deal with this. I dealt with this last Sunday just as a reminder. There are two reasons God really put heavy on my heart why that He wanted me to preach on this passage of Scripture. Was number one, for a caution to warn us that it is there, the far country is real. It's not imaginary, it's not fictitious, it's not made up, it's not in a dream world. It is a real place, it's a real condition that you can get in. Amen. So a word of caution, and then a word of cure. God wanting to send this message to cure one by way of prevention. That is preventing people from going. An ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. So the devil, listen, wants you in a far country. God does not want you in a far country. And He's sending this message to prevent that from happening. We want these kids that come on the van to know that there's a far country that will ravage their life, that will wreck their life. Amen. Amen. Listen, I've got a statistic at the house I'm talking about, and it's an old statistic, where that there was like 9,000 9-year-old alcoholics in America. 9 years old, already hooked on alcohol. Who do you blame for that? 9-year-old can't go buy it. A 9-year-old's probably not going to steal, rob the bank, or rob the store with it. Probably got it out of mom and daddy's cupboard. Probably seen it in daddy's car. Saw mom and daddy with it, and then they'd slip and get it. Amen? God help us. I'm telling you, listen, I'll never underestimate the fact that the pulpit is essential in this country.
Amen. The hope of America is not in the at the White House. It's down at the church house, and it starts in the pulpit. Amen. We're in the shape we're in as a church in general, not RBT, but the church in general, because of liberals in the pulpit that won't preach against nothing and won't live right in front of the people, making it easy for them to sin and live a loose life. But I'm not one of those. Amen. I am not one of those. I want to try to keep you out of our country if I possibly can. But it'll never be an accident if you go to the far country. Nobody trips and stumbles and accidentally winds up there on the main street, far country, USA. You go there because you made a choice to do so. Amen? And listen, Miss Nikki's fixing to have a baby, and let's see who else is fixing to have babies in here. Miss Seal's back there. Those first steps, Miss Shannon put something on there about Bethany taking her first step this week. Her first step wasn't in the house, though it was, but it wasn't really in the house. Her first step that she took this week, sis, is toward the far country. That little boy, that little baby, when y'all's are born, listen, it's got a nature in it that hates God, hates the things of God, and is bent toward the world and filth and sin. And I'm going to tell you, you better not wait till they're 16 or 18 to start trying to put some spiritual standards in their life and put a godly influence in their life. Amen. I mean, listen, start when they're first born. In fact, start before they're born. Amen. Get your life straight. Amen. Right now. Amen. I don't know why I'm preaching to them. Amen. Maybe they need it. Amen. Maybe they need it. I don't know. Right now, they don't have a baby to chase around through the house and keep them up all night. Amen. Right now, you've got a time, Miss Amber, that y'all can focus on your spiritual life and get right and full of God. Amen. And get close to God so that when that baby does get here, that baby will have a spiritual, spirit-filled mama and daddy in the house to train and influence that child. Amen. So y'all can actually go home today and say, the preacher preached to us, amen. Yeah. That's right, amen. But let me give you this real quick, if you want to write it down. Now these are the steps. These are the steps that'll get you in the far country. Now, I'm just going to give them to you, but this is not really where I want to preach today. The first step, and I want you to get it. Now if I end up preaching it, that'll be all right too. Just leave that between me and the Holy Ghost, amen. Yeah. But the first step toward the far country is dissatisfaction. If the devil can get you dissatisfied, he can work anything else in your life. I believe this with all of my heart, that dissatisfaction is the seedbed for all sin. Amen. Dissatisfaction will ruin you. Amen. But it's the beginning. If dissatisfaction, if the devil can get you dissatisfied, he can get you distant. If he can get you dissatisfied, he can get you defiled. Amen. If he can get you dissatisfied, he can get you down. Amen. That's right, isn't it? Some of you need to look at your life spiritually and see, are you satisfied with Jesus? Amen. All right, listen, are you satisfied with Jesus? Now, I know that sounds like a question that should not even be asked in a church like this. But carnality in your heart or mine testifies to the Lord, I'm not satisfied with you. I've got to have more than what you're giving me, and therefore I'm going to the world for it. I'm leaning on the flesh for it. Ask yourself today, am I satisfied? The prodigal started out somewhere in his heart and in his mind being dissatisfied with the father's house. Becoming dissatisfied, probably, no doubt, with the father's rules. Probably become dissatisfied with the authority of parents. Hello. Young lady, young man, know for sure you're headed for the far country, and you're not walking either. You're running in that direction. When you get dissatisfied and you get, listen, amen, you get dissatisfied with parents telling you what to do. And by the way, if you don't have a, listen, parents, if you don't tell your children what to do and how to live and so forth, they'll end up telling you what to do. Say amen right there. That's right. Rebellion in a child is no sign at all that you're saved. Amen. One preacher said God throwed the first rebel out of heaven and he'll never let another one in. Amen. And the first one was Lucifer. Are you listening? Rebellion is not of God, but dissatisfaction. If the devil can get you dissatisfied with church, and you know what's an indicator? Looks like I'm going to preach it. You know what's an indicator of dissatisfaction in church? Boredom. Doing this right number when Preacher Rackley's preaching. Or doing some of this. Amen. Bored with spiritual things is an indication you're dissatisfied. And I'm going to tell you, friend, as illustrated here, if you ever get dissatisfied with the Father's house, you're on your way out of the Father's house and you're headed to the far country. Amen. That's why when I notice as a pastor and I see your spiritual life going down the tubes and I see you getting distant and I see you getting disinterested, I see you becoming dull of hearing, I see you, my friend, during preaching and during the singing, laughing and cutting up and playing jokes and playing games and writing notes, amen, and not sermon notes either. And giggle and carry on. It's easy to identify that when I'm preaching something very serious and somebody's laughing. I know we're not on the same page. Amen. I was a preaching in a revival not long ago and I was a preaching on hell. That's a pretty serious subject. And there were some on the back row, they was laughing. And they was, I mean, just a giggling and carrying on. I knew they weren't listening to me because there's nothing funny about hell. There's nothing to laugh about hell. I took about all of that as I could handle. And finally, I stopped and I said, hey, you on the back row, I want to know what's so funny. I said, for sure what I'm preaching's not funny. I said, if you got something more important to laugh about than I have to preach about, we'll stop and let you tell it. Amen. I don't think they breathed but about three times the rest of the service. Amen. They got an immediate conviction against laughing in church. Especially when the preacher's preaching on something serious. Amen. But I'm talking about dissatisfaction. That was his first step. Listen, he was still at the Father's house. He was in the far country in his mind long before he ever got there with his morals. He was in the far country in his heart long before he ever got there with his habits. You can be in the far country inwardly while at the Father's house. How many would be sitting here this morning? You've got a King James Bible in your lap. You're listening to a Bible thumping preacher. Amen to God, that's right. Yes, amen. But you're in a far country in your heart. You're in a far country with your thought life. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, you listen to this preacher all you want to, listen. I can't keep you from going to the far country. I can expose it. I can point it out. I can show you the road signs and tell you don't go that way. I can do all that, but I cannot keep you from the far country. If you're determined to go, listen, if you're determined to go, not even your parents can keep you from going. Amen. And I've said this before about Blake many years ago and said it several times since. I said, if the devil gets him, it'll not be because I pushed him in that direction. Well, I'm just going to let mine make their own mind up of where they're going to go and what they're going to do and what they're going to believe and where they're going to go to church. Yeah, do that. I don't know of one good report on that.
Amen.
We had a family several years ago came to church here. They loved it. They loved it. They loved the preaching and all. They loved the singing. They loved everything about the church. But they let little Junior decide where to go to church. They told me that. So we're going to kind of go where he wants to go. Where little Sissy wants to go. We're going to let them kind of decide. Guess where they wound up? I'm not going to tell you. But it weren't here. Hey, man. They went to some loose church. I mean, I could tell you the name of it. They went to a loose church that's got all kinds of attractions. But very loose and very liberal. Of course, that's where they're going to go. No, that daddy, if he's saved, and I put a big if there, but if he was saved, he should have jerked a knot in his hind end of that little boy and said, look, buddy, you don't need a ball team. You need a Bible preacher. Hey, amen. You need somebody to preach a devil out of you. You need somebody to preach a hide off of you. You need somebody that will hold up the standard of righteousness in front of you. Amen, amen, amen. But dissatisfaction. Getting bored with spiritual things. Amen. When's the last time you worshiped? Amen. When's the last time you worshiped? You can get emotional and still not be spiritual. You can get emotional and not be spiritual. Amen. Amen. I mean, I've got a series of names coming through my little brain right now. People that's been to church here in the times past, years past. I mean, lived just pure, plain wicked. And will come in here and say amen while I preach. Testify, raise her hand, and all that stuff. You know what I wanted to do? I didn't do. I wanted to throw a songbook and hit them. And I did in a roundabout way tell them, I want you to shut up. If you don't live right, shut up. Don't say amen. I don't want to hear nothing you got to say except, preacher, I'm coming to the altar. Get a bunch of people to pray for me. I hate hypocrisy with a passion. Amen. But anyway, help me, Lord. Dissatisfaction, that's where it all starts. That's where it all starts. Number two, the second step that I believe started with this young man was not only dissatisfaction, but also, number two, desire. See, you won't be dissatisfied long till desire will kick in. Well, what's the desire for? The desire is for an alternative. Whatever you're dissatisfied with, the desire will be for the opposite. He was dissatisfied with the Father's house, and all that went with it. And now he's got desires that are carnal and distant toward the far country. So not only should you look at your life today and see, am I dissatisfied with spiritual things? And then secondly, ask yourself, and listen, you've got to be honest with yourself. Because I cannot know your heart. All I know about you is what I see. Hello. And that's plenty in many cases. It's what I see. All you know about me is what you see. Amen. That's why it's important that we live right outwardly as well as inwardly. But listen, the desire, be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. You can't do business with God unless you're kneeling down on knees of honesty. Unless you're bowing in with honesty. Unless you've got an honest heart and a humble heart. And be honest with yourself and say, you know what? I don't really have the desires that I ought to have. My desires for spiritual things is not where it needs to be. My desires are for carnal, fleshly things. Worldly things. Amen. I know a lot of people look at me, you know, and they think, preacher, you preach against worldliness and you preach against that. Good. Hey, and I do.
Good.
But I would want to challenge you before you crucify me over that. Do your own personal study about what the Bible says about worldliness. And then you see if I'm too hard on it. People that deals that gets that falls out with me about separation and sanctification, and I've even asked one time that just give me the what fors after the service about, preacher, you're wrong on this and you shouldn't preach this and that and the other. I said, well, look, okay, if I'm wrong, I've got the wrong idea about separation from the world and separation from, you know, from self and the flesh and so on. I said, give me your concept. Tell me your view on it. All of a sudden, they developed a stuttering problem. Now, I was wrong. They was telling, it's a female, of course. Tell me that I was wrong. And I was just as honest as I could be. I said, well, look, tell me your view. If I'm wrong, I'll be the first to take and say, hey, I'm wrong. I'm out of the Bible. Amen. Show me, Tim, what do you believe? I said, yep, just like I thought. Amen. I'm wrong because I'm not jumping up and down in your basket. I'm wrong because I'm preaching against how you're living. Somebody asked me this week, in fact, Friday, asked me, said, preacher, did a bunch from so-and-so church come to your church? I said, are you kidding? They had some problems, you know, and I reckon blowed apart, and I hated to hear that. Amen. Did a bunch of them come to your church? I said, no, there wasn't a one come to our church. And it wasn't because we weren't letting them. They just know what RBT stands for. Amen. They don't want it. Amen. Not everybody wants what we've got. Amen. And not all we've got wants what we've got. But you need to be honest with your desires, because when dissatisfaction comes into your life spiritually about your church, your attitude changes towards your preacher. Amen. By the way, let me just throw that in there while we're on it, while we're muddying up that water. Listen, you can tell you're headed out and down when your attitude changes toward me. Now, I don't know why I'm saying that, why I'm dealing with that, other than somebody here is like that. Amen. That's right. When your attitude starts changing toward me, and you start shunning me, you're getting cold toward me, and you're not, oh, amen, preacher, preach to me. Now, you, amen. Listen, and you start to be unfaithful, don't want to come in here preaching. Amen. Listen. You know what that is? That's a problem. Amen. That's right. Listen, I've been here 20 years. This year, 20 years, I preached my first message, 92, in June of 92, here in the church. I said, amen. So I've seen a lot of water go on the bridge. And I've seen people in this church I led them to the Lord myself, baptized them, and saw them grow and train them. And then I started seeing them getting distant from me. I started watching them, started getting cold toward me and starting to avoid me. And the next thing I know, they're out the door. Amen. You need to watch your desires. Amen. Because here's the Lord to give me a little saying. What you don't want will soon be replaced with what you do want. I don't want RBT. I don't want preaching. I don't want the Bible. I don't want standards. I don't want righteousness. I don't want fellowship with God. Guess what? That don't want will soon be replaced with what you do want. And if you turn from the spiritual, there's only one alternative, and that is the carnal, the natural, the flesh, and the world. All right, so the first step was what? Dissatisfaction. The second step toward the far country is what? Desire, amen? You need to be honest with yourself. You need to be honest with yourself. Listen, the dissatisfaction and the desire was while he was still at the Father's house. The dissatisfaction and the desire for the far country. He had a desire to go to the far country long before he asked the Father, give me what's coming to me. Amen. You need to be honest about yourself. You need to be honest about yourself. That's right. I mean, if you want my opinion, come and ask me and I'll tell you. Preach, how you think I'm doing? That'd be a good question. Preacher, what are you seeing? I mean, you're an overseer.
Yep.
You're an overseer, so evidently, and you're the watchman on the wall.
Yeah.
Praise God, I'm the watchdog, Brother Mark, that you gave in Sunday school. Right. Woo, woo, amen. That didn't sound too mean, did it? That doesn't sound like a chihuahua, did it? All bark, no bite. I know a lot of preachers like that. But anyway, hey. Lord, help me not to get distracted. Amen. But you, listen, listen. If you want my opinion, I'll tell you. Amen. But you need to be honest with yourself about your dissatisfaction and about your desires.
Right.
Amen. Be honest with yourself. Look in the mirror and say, you know what? I don't have the desires for reading the Word of God and praying and serving God that I ought to. Amen. Praise God, I like people that raises their hand. I like people that says amen. But I want to tell you, when I see that you're not where you need to be, and it's evident sometimes. Some people got it hid from me. And it's not that I'm wearing a badge and I'm a high sheriff and I go around trying to catch you. That I'm too bored for that. Amen. I don't want to fool with that. I have a hard time keeping me straight and my wife. Or she has a hard time keeping me straight, I guess. But the truth is, be honest with yourself. And I can tell. Listen, back on the hand raising thing. It's a turnoff to me when I see people raise their hand and it's very evident in their life that they're full of carnality. That's a turnoff to me. That does not impress me. And I'm not trying to discourage you from raising your hand. You know that I do it. I encourage it. I like it. But it's a turnoff to me, and it is to your family that knows how you live. Your friends know how you live, and you raise your hand, and you say amen and all of this because others are raising their hand. That is a turnoff. Amen. Oh, that cooked some of your gooses right there, didn't it? Well, that's just being honest about it. That's just being honest about it. Amen. Preach, you tough. No, I'm not tough. I just believe you. If you're saved, Brother Stouter, what do you tell everybody? Brother Stouter said, hey, preacher actually just believes you're saved, you ought to live right. And that lines up with the Word of God. Number three, quickly, I've got to hurry. The third aspect, the third step. First one was what? Dissatisfaction. The second step toward the far country is what? Desire. Desire starting to change. Desire starting to alter. The third one is decision. See, it's not going to stay in your mind. The far country is not going to stay in your mind and in your heart and in your desires long before it's going to reach over to the gear shift and the clutch pedal of your will and engage the desires. And engage the will to what you want. Amen. You better deal with the far country while it's a thought. Amen. Are everybody listening? You need to deal with the far country while it's only a thought. You know, you're having thoughts about it. Deal with the far country while it's only somewhat of desires. Amen. Deal with it then. Because if you don't deal with it then, and you're going to have to be honest about that. Because it can be in your mind and your mom and daddy not know it, your husband and wife not know it, your children not know it. It can be in your heart for a while and they others may not know it. But it won't be long till you will make a decision. And when you make a decision, then everybody is going to know it because you've engaged your will. That's when you say, I don't care what people think, I am going in this direction. Amen. It's your decision. Nobody forces you to go to the far country. Nobody twists your arm to go to the far country. It'll never be an accident. If you go there, it'll be a choice. And here's your good saying. The far country is a choice, not a chance. It's not just a happenstance that you wind up in the far country. It's a decision. It's a decision. And we've all seen it here. And sad, we'll probably see it yet again. From others. And I meant what I said last week. I feel in my heart there's some in this church that's headed, not just out of church, but you're headed to the world as fast as you can go. And the only thing that's hindering you so far is that you've got a parent, you've got a guardian, you've got somebody in your life that's telling you at least every once in a while, no. And still bringing you to church. But when you hit the big 1-8, which don't mean nothing. Well, you wait till I get 18. Well, what does 18 mean? 18 don't mean nothing except you're 1 year older than 17 and 1 year younger than 19. That's all that means. That's right. You start developing that independent spirit, which our Bible example did. You start developing that independent spirit and won't listen to mom and daddy and start sassing your authorities in your life and back-talking them. Guess what? You're headed to the far country and to the hog pen. Yeah. That's right. Decision. Number four, write it down. I'm going to eat. Number four. Don't write that down, but write this down. Hey, man. Dissatisfaction's the first step toward the far country. Desire is the second step toward the far country. Amen. Decision is the third step toward the far country. And by the way, I'm not through with that. Lord, just press me something. I believe this with all my heart, that there's some in this church, you're already in the far country in your mind, you're already in the far country in your heart, you're just abiding your time, and you're just looking for the opportunity. You're waiting on the bus. You're waiting on the train. You're waiting on the vehicle. You're waiting on the person. You're waiting on the funds. You're waiting on the open door. You're already there. You wish you was that. Some of you don't. You wish you weren't even here this morning. If some of you young people had your, listen, and I'm just throwing out in general, had your way this morning, you would not be in church. You'd be laid out somewhere at the city pool or somewhere else. You wouldn't be in church. Your heart's there, your mind is there, and you're abiding your time. And church, let me preach to you and us just for a second. While we do have them here, wherever their mind is, Brother Tom, wherever their heart is, I want to tell you what we've got to have, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to have some power-packed, spirit-filled services. Why? In hopes that God will get on their pew and bring them under conviction and deal with them and smite their heart about their desires for the far country. Amen. Because once they're gone, they're gone. Amen? Number four, decision. Number four is detachment. When you make that decision that comes from the desire, desire comes from dissatisfaction. When you make that decision, then you're going to start detaching yourself. And he did. The prodigal did. He started detaching himself from the Father, from the Father's house, from the Father's work, from the Father's will. He started to tap. That's what he was in mind when he said in verse 12, when he came to the Father and said, "Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." He divideth unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger gathered all together and took his journey. Detachment. You'll cut yourself from spiritual ties in your life. Amen. It wasn't that, listen, I wrote this down. It wasn't just going somewhere that was on the boy's mind. Now listen to me carefully, this is good. It wasn't just going somewhere that was on his mind, but it was getting away from something that was on his mind. Amen? Well, I can't wait till I get out of the house. I can't wait till I get out of the house. I'll do what I want to do. Yeah. Be sure to send me a letter from the hog pen when you write it. Amen. I can't wait. I was that way too, Brother Jeter. I was that way. That's why I'm preaching this way. Amen. I was that way as well. Amen. Mom, Dad, tell me, listen, as long as you live in this house, eat at my table and sleep in my bed, wear my clothes. Amen. You're going to do as we say. And going to church is not an option. They told me what music I was going to listen to. They told me what I would wear and not wear. Hello. That's exactly right. Some of you parents ought to pay close attention to what you're on your children's iPod, iPad, phone, cell phone, whatever else they have, apparatuses that can listen, that they can listen to. You do well to pay attention to that. Wonder why they're getting rebellious? Look at what they're listening to. Wonder why you can't control them? Look at what they're listening to. I found that, Brother Mark, over the years of my experience to be a common denominator. When there's rebellion, when there's disobedience, when there's disrespect, it's because of what they're listening to and who they're running with.
Amen.
Amen. You know I'm telling it right, whether you accept it or not. But there was a detachment. It wasn't that he just wanted to go somewhere. He knew that he couldn't go there until he severed, cut himself off, Brother Mike, from the Father's house. Amen. It's not what you're leaving that it's all. It's also where you're going. Leaving and cleaving always goes together in the Bible. Leave the Father's house, you're going to be cleaving to the far country. In fact, I'm not going to deal with it this morning, but it said there later on that he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country. Yeah. Left the Father's house, detached from that, but you find him down there in the far country, joining himself to a citizen of that land. The fifth one is a direction. When there's a dissatisfaction and a desire and a decision and a detachment, then there's a direction. I can tell where you're going by the direction you're going in. Is that not, that's deep, isn't it? Now I'm going to have to say that again. That's just over your head. I can tell where you're going by the direction. I can tell where you're going by your direction. Amen. If you don't want, listen, of course the last one is the destiny. If you don't want to wind up in the far country, don't go in that direction. Isn't that simple? If you don't want to go to the far country, don't go in that direction. Don't run with them that's going in that direction. Direction produces destiny. Amen. God help us. And so you can look at those six steps right there and find out whether you're going to go to the far country or not. Wind up in the far country or not. Amen. I want you to stand with me this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Miss Paul Sue's making her way. I didn't really aim for that to be the message this morning, but that's okay. I'm willing for God to lead us and guide us. Father, I pray in Jesus' name.